Turn with me to the book of Mark 4:24. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. Oops. Yesterday was, it was a little known, very significant day. Bob Jones had evidently given a word in 1977. How many of you were on the planet in 1977? Yeah, okay. When were you born, Tom? Like, where? And it was a kind of a Ichabod word, like the spirit presence of the Lord is going to depart. Not a good word. You don't want to hear that. And I don't know the specifics. I was trying to look up some things on it. But that in 40 years, his presence would return. Like, we're talking about the presence of the Lord where on the earth where things really, you know, happen. And I don't want to go too much into it because I really don't know what to say other than it was. Jamie Overholt was pointing this out. He reminded us a few weeks ago, that 40-year mark was coming. It was actually coming on March 11th of 2017. That was the bang of that 40 years. Like, so some significant things happened yesterday. And it all ties into this, like, what do you hear? What are you hearing the Lord say? Look at that scripture there in Mark. This makes all the difference. What do you hear? What do you hear? And Jesus says this, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given besides. And it's interesting, he says this in the context, he's speaking, he's giving words, and then he kind of interrupts what he's saying and says, take heed what you listen to. And the Spirit would say that to us on any given time or day, take heed, pay attention to what you're listening to. What do you listen to? And I became aware of this. People, as they grow old, they can get older. They can grow into this beautiful person, or they can grow into an embittered person. Yeah? Growing old isn't the problem. It's what you're growing into that is the problem. Can we just say that once and for all? Especially those of us that are very gray and we're in this other category. We're looking for shreds of hope for our, you know. And I've noticed this. It's not about age, is it? It's about what a person has grown into. And what really matters about what you grow into is what you listen to. What do you listen to? And again, I'm going to get way outside of my pay grade. I'm going to make a statement. It is what I believe. So here we go. I've dabbled in this before, but when it comes, for example, to mental illness, I'm not an expert. I'm just Rick on Bethesda Road near a cornfield, you know, next to a woods down on a township road. So tremendously what matters and determines that is what you listen to, what a person listens to. I wish we knew the truth of all the psychiatric patients or people that are tagged and identified as mentally ill. And I understand it's a big, big thing, but I really believe in this. What do you listen to? And I watch as a person what they choose to listen to, and it could start at a very young age, and maybe it's a lie the enemy has planted. And if this isn't about blame, it's just about, here's the principle, what gets started. A traumatic event, a traumatic situation, and a lot of people in this world have lived through some really traumatic situations. And through those situations, something gets spoken. Something becomes the reality. And if the person listens to that, it sets their destiny. It wouldn't have to, but it does, because it becomes the predominant voice. And if you grow into that as you proceed, it'll determine what kind of person you are and what you look like. And here's Jesus, the Son of God, making this statement: take care of what you listen to. And the scariest thing you listen to is the voice that sounds like you. And if and when that voice, whatever, wherever it's coming from, it may sound just like you. It may be you, it may not be you, but it is where we get whispered to. And if you don't discern what is the truth, and Jesus comes and he speaks truth and he gives us promises, doesn't he? But the enemy of our soul, probably more that than what we think is our self, are lies. And it's there all the time. Pay attention to your self-talk. Pay attention to what goes on in your mind. And just a funny illustration of that is I've been in this place where I've come to this age, how funny, and I have this growing desire for worship and to do things and worship and music. And I have this constant voice. You're too old. I'm like, now what? I mean, I'm finally, and even in the ministry, I'm finally getting dialed in and tuned in, and that voice is always there, like you missed it. I remember the day that I realized there was always a voice in my head that I was too young. You're too young. You're too old. Oh, whoa, I missed it. When did it change? You know, it's like another, and I went, oh my gosh, I'm always going to be too something. I'm always going to be disqualified because I'm too something. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too tall, I'm too white, I'm too black, I'm too this, I'm too that, you know? There's no end to it, and the enemy doesn't care what is the truth, just so you listen to it, just so you believe it, and he'll feed that to you, and he doesn't care. Like, we'll go like, you just contradicted yourself. I don't care, I'm the devil. I don't play by your rules. And Jesus is giving this warning. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, giving good information. And then he goes, be careful what you're listening to. Because if you don't hear my voice, you're listening to the voice of another. And if you don't hear my voice and follow that and let that determine where you're going, I can't help you. Now, those are strong words. But even Jesus can't help you if you won't listen to his words, if you won't heed to his words, to his directions. And we often go to the commandment side of that, and it's a reality. There are some do's and don'ts in Jesus' words, and I'm good with that because he's Jesus. We don't have to get rid of all the do's and don'ts. That's fine. It comforts me. The band's been working on listening to a click track as we play music. It's going to kill you the first time you try to play to that thing in our ear, but it keeps us on time. Shows us when we're rushing. Shows us when we're dragging. And now I've got the team. You know, I didn't do it, but we came to this place where we go like, hey, turn that on. It holds us together, and we're playing better. Awkward for a little while, but we're starting to flow with that. And right away, you can hear you're rushing. You're falling back. I don't mind Jesus' words. I don't mind the commands and the directions because they're that click track. They're like, oh, too much of this. Be careful. Not this, not that. And he leads me in paths that are life and righteousness. He leaves me in a good place. And I was leading worship up at Jamie Overholt's church the other night. And and when I got done, this older woman walks up, and I hear her say to my brother, he sounds kind of country. I'm like, now, if you know me and country music, I'm like, jeez. Now, I grew up on country music, but I deny that, like, you know. And I smiled, and I looked at it. I said, I know, my voice does. I can go there, like, you know, Jonathan David Helser songs or whatever. they fit me because I have that. You know, I can go there real easily. Laughed about it. She began, you know, she appreciated the music. We had a great night of worship. And I remember this lie is always there. And there were some decisions that I made to go forward on some stuff. And I have to deal with this you're too old thing. It's just, it's that big. It's like, I'm going to assume you all have your thing that the enemy whispers to you. So I have to deal with this, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to make a decision to go forward and I'm going to have to deal with this lie. I got to deal with this thing or it's going to beat me up. She shared some things with me. It was real neat, you know, like, do you have a CD? I'm like, well, we're actually thinking about doing something, you know, so I was driving home. I don't know where I was. And this click, this thing, is the funniest way the Lord encourages you. And all of a sudden, I had this picture of country western singers. And you know what's unique about them? They never quit, you know? They may start young, but they just keep right on. It doesn't matter how old they are, you know? And all of a sudden, I had this image of Willie Nelson. I mean, that's not even a good picture. You know, crusty looking face and, you know, skinny and, you know, ponytail down the middle of his back. I think that would be cool, but I don't think my wife would ever go for it. But Charlie Daniels and whoever, those boys are going to come and sing at their own funeral. I went, I'm just going to go with it. Yeah, I'm going to just kind of like, Yeah, just like them, I'll just ignore it. And I realized there are a lot of you like me. That's my lie. I just have to go, whatever. Then don't listen, you know. Then don't follow. It's, you know, but I am what I am. And that lie, those kind of lies are in our lives. And Jesus says, pay attention to what you're listening to. Who said? It's my understanding Colonel Sanders was 65, and he had an epiphany about how to make chicken. I mean, you know, and his name's still around. And there are a lot of things where, who said it had to happen here or at this chapter in your life? Like, it's taken on me all my life just to kind of get things worked out. I don't know about you all. Like, I wish I could have been then where I am now. That would be good. I wish I could have started out with the church where I am now. Things would have gone, I'm thinking they would have gone better. I don't know. I think they would have. I would have gone better with it anyways. You know, quote from Shawshank Redemption. You know, he makes this guy in prison makes this decision. Well, I better get busy living or get busy dying. It's one thing, one or the other. I better start planning my escape, or I better plan to get killed in here. So, I'm out of here. That was his decision, and he became totally focused on his escape, which was the choice of what life. So, as only in the movies, you know, he escapes, and you know, the last scene is him, you know, on a beach somewhere. Jesus saying, "Be careful." Take heed what you listen to. I want to read some out of this book. I've been getting so much out of Stephen DeSilva. It's been a real season for me. He quotes Bill Johnson, and he says, clearly Jesus is not referring merely to the physical act of perceiving sound. He's talking about hearing that involves listening. When we listen, we allow what we are hearing to gain our attention and focus, which in turn influences our beliefs and values. So what I listen to influences my beliefs and values. I better listen to good stuff. I better listen to good stuff. These beliefs and values set a standard for our ears that ultimately determines the voices that we pick up in our environment. So actually, when you start hearing the good thing, then you start tuning in to the promise and to the word, to the good things, and that other goes away. And this is so significant. I may have referred to it recently, but I'm going to hit this thing again. If we allow the message of poverty to set the standard for our ears, and we're not just talking about being broke. Poverty is a whole mental attitude and approach to life. It's an approach to there's not enough. So I need to complain. I need to grasp. I need to cheat. I need to steal, maybe. I don't know. I got to find a way to survive because I don't have what I need. That's poverty. I don't have what I need in relationships, so I better try to be like somebody else. I'm too old, so I better youngify myself. Put on a wig and do whatever, you know. What do you do to make yourself look younger? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Don't you watch somebody that's dressed like, you go, oh God, lady, put that dress away. Like, no, that's not doing you any favors. I know you think you're looking younger. You're not looking cool at all in that. Like, oh geez. Okay, that thing. You've all seen it, I know. It is like tuning into a radio frequency. Francis Frangipane, and I have the book, a lot of you have it too, Three Battlegrounds, explains that a power, Ephesians 6:12, is an evil energy that broadcasts like radio waves over territory. For this reason, he says, the means, and this is a quote from his book, the means through which the church successfully wars against powers is through the administration of Christ's spiritual authority and the principle of displacement. What is displacement? How do you displace water? Like you all have had a glass of water and you say, oh, I forgot the ice cubes. And what happens if you put in too many ice cubes? It overflows because there's display. The ice cubes take up room, and if you forgot them, you know, or you go to Starbucks and they'll say, want me to leave room for your cream, or do you want a full cup? It's like, yeah, you know, if I want cream, I was like, yeah, leave it down a little bit so there's room for that. Why? Because it displaces. It takes up space. It takes up room. So that principle is really how powers are. They need to be displaced. So there's like this poverty spirit. We call it a spirit, but actually it's a mindset. We have overcome in this mindset. It's really in our area deeply. You find it, and it's not even about people being poor. Again, you have to understand it's bigger than that, or not having things. The poverty spirit, there's people that have money and they have this spirit. They're the ones that hoard. They're afraid to do anything. They're afraid to use anything. They live like, you know, because they have a poverty spirit. So how many times does someone die in almost absolute poverty as far as what they look like, and they're filthy rich. They're rich. They've got, you know, lots of money stashed away somewhere. Like, I don't know about you, but that's kind of like, okay. You miss something. You miss something. And so we displace it. And what do we displace it with? Powers are not cast out. They are displaced in the spirit realm by the fullness of the reign of Christ in the church and through the intercessory warfare of the saints in the region. So if we want to displace that spirit, we need to, it's through displacement. So what do we need to do? We need to get bigger in this. So let Christ become enlarged in our hearts, and let's become bigger, and we displace that thing by doing what? By just being, by worship. We gather together, we worship, and we displace that stuff. And who was the teacher we listened to that you, Burke? Arthur Burke, yeah. He really believed in this. He experienced this. He writes about this. Like what happens when they come and worship, and then people that had spiritual discernment could tell, like, the boundaries, the realm of influence would spread out from the building where they were worshiped, and they became aware of this. And it can spread out through a whole territory, community, region. This is the power that we have. And it comes through growing in Christ and coming into the things that we know, like getting big in Jesus, letting our hearts enlarge. And that's the concept of prosperity, that the capacity of your soul will enlarge so that you can carry more for the kingdom, for the great merchant, for the great owner, master that commissions you. They're displaced in the spirit realm by fullness and the reign of Christ in the church and through the intercessory warfare of the saints in the region, so that when we're full and then we release words, that things are impacted and we displace through this new declaration. Let's say the power of poverty is a radio station that broadcasts the lie of lack. I don't have enough. How do we retrain our thinking against these broadcasts? It isn't sufficient simply to tune the enemy out. And sometimes we're like that. It's the gesture, la, 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 right? You understand that? What is that? You're like, I don't want to hear you. I got to keep my thoughts right. Like, I can't listen to this. What if there's a better way? Kind of, you know what happens when you walk around with earplugs in your ears? Well, we do it all the time now with our music and our iPhones. And, you know, Phyllis is, yeah, sometimes she's trying to get my attention. She says something in the house. I can't hear her because I've got my, you know, earplugs listening to my tunes, you know, keeping in a good whatever. But it's like, hello, McFly, you're in the house. I need something, you know, where are you, you know, what's going on? And if we live life with our ears plugged and can't, then that, like, that's not a way to live. That's what I'm saying. Shielded, you know, it's the three monkeys. See no evil, speak no evil, you know. Those emojis, yeah, you all got them on your phone, you know. There's got to be more to that. Are we full of Christ? So it's not about covering and hiding and shielding, but it's about being full, and that stuff gets displaced as you come into the room. That the spirit that's within you and the fullness of Christ in you displaces things. That's what I'm talking about. It isn't sufficient simply to tune the enemy out. We must choose to tune into a different message. We need to change the channel. The only way to unbend our souls from a poverty paradigm is to displace the lie of lack by embracing the core message of the prosperous soul. There is always enough. In fact, there is always enough for you because you are worthy in Christ. I am fighting this fight right now. Like everything that comes through, you know, my everyday life, things I want, things I want to do, things I want to overcome, it's always there. And then what's your self-talk about that? You identify something you want, something you want to do, something you want to happen, something you need to happen, something that needs to change. And then what's the self-talk with that? You see it, you think it for a moment, and then what do you say? Do you say, I've got everything I need. It's gonna be good. I want this to happen, I need this to happen. Or do you go, I'll never be able to afford that, no one will cooperate with that, my wife won't say yes. No one else will follow me in this. Like, what do you say? How do you da-da-da-da-da through this? When you live in this abundance and you grasp this thing that is ours in Christ, then all things are yours. And it just changes how you look at everything. You realize there are answers beyond what you can see. When you look at things and realize it has more to do, what I desire is bigger than what I can afford. Now, it doesn't give you permission to go buy anything. We're not talking about credit here, okay? So, be careful, little, you know, people, what you do. But it's about the approach to believing. It's this condition of your heart changes everything. It dispels the victim. It dispels the entitlement. It dispels all that other stuff. And you go, all things are mine in Christ. And you begin to dial into that message. This message of abundance that all things are yours will establish your soul in your God-given identity and purpose. Ultimately, as the church corporately embraces the message of abundance, we will become our own station for broadcasting this message to the world. We'll put the enemy out of business as we introduce everyone in our sphere of influence to the reality of heaven's economy. Consider how renewing your mind with "there is always enough" displaces a poverty of spirit with a prosperous soul. Here are some examples that Stephen De Silva gives in this. Where a poverty spirit creates anxiety, this is where your anxiety comes from. You see something you need, or you see something coming up, an event's coming up, someplace you have to go, something you have to do, and the anxiety about that is the belief that you don't have what you need. That's what that is. Otherwise, you'd be like, oh yeah, I'm good. I mean, do you have anxiety about lunch? Some of you might, but I mean, like, oh yeah, we're just gonna go here and eat, or we'll dig something out, but you're not nervous about it, right? I mean, I don't think anybody here is nervous about lunch. You're not full of anxiety about what you're gonna do for lunch. Now, if you had no way of knowing where that was, if you didn't believe that you, even if you don't know right now what you're gonna do for lunch, you all have this belief like, yeah, I will eat today, right? Right? That's just kind of settled. I don't think anyone here is worried about that. I hope not. If so, we will help you. See, like that, you're like, oh yeah, of course, we'll find something. Leftover, something in the freezer, go to somebody's house, tell them, hey, we're here for lunch, you know, you'll do something. But if you were fearful and you didn't know and you couldn't perceive and you were living in that reality, then you would have anxiousness about this. Poverty spirit creates anxiety. A prosperous soul is anxious for nothing. What if the same attitude you had about lunch today, you had about everything? Oh, happy day. Let's start. Oh, happy day. You know, wouldn't it? I mean, honestly. And that is actually the promise from Jesus. Take heed what you listen to. I'm telling you good stuff. I'm giving you good information. He says all things are ours. All things belong to us in Christ. The threat of calamity fails to sway you, for you know that God will be faithful in all things. When he entrusts you with more, you know that he will also give you the grace to handle it well. Well, that'd be a whole new way to look at life, wouldn't it? Like, well, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it'll be good. Yeah, it'll be fine. What I don't know, the Lord, he'll be there. He'll get me through it. I have learned to do this about things that I would tend to be stressed about. I actually do practice this, and I've gotten to where I'm going to overthink this. I'm just going to, yeah, I'm going to prepare what I know to prepare, and I'm just going to trust the Lord. And wow, it's been nice. Just stop thinking about it. That doesn't help. Where a poverty spirit hoards, a prosperous soul conserves and uses. So there's a difference. There's a difference between, there's a savings that is good, but there's hoarding that is bad. That's keeping junk. That's, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But there's a conserving, but then you use it, but you don't use, I mean, because if you, a poverty spirit will be like, oh, I better not use that. It'll never get replaced. I'll never have enough. You find creative and beneficial ways to recycle and reuse things. Where a poverty spirit believes things just happen to me, Murphy's Law, a prosperous soul believes I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm part of the solution. Where do you want me to, you know, tap in at? Where a poverty spirit reaches for instant gratification, another big problem in our culture. And all the marketers know that about us, don't they? So now, even though your sweeper at home is working just fine, the ad comes on for the new sweeper that's better, lighter, has better, brighter lights on it as you run around the carpet, you know, and it makes you discontent with the one you have. So marketing taps in on that. Now, if you have a genuine need and it's time for a new something, then a salesman can be a real help to you to find what you need. But if they're tapping in on your this thing, and you function in a poverty spirit, then you're quick to satisfy. Not you never have time for anything. A prosperous soul exercises self-control towards dreams and goals. Yeah, that's a good thing. You're peaceful. And you're peaceful because you see things and you know and you believe this is going to come, this is going to happen. That clock on the back wall is correct, isn't it? Like, it's only 5 after 12. We're not 5 after. Am I good? Yeah. Okay. Phew. Those clocks are... Did it reset itself? Like, is it smart? What? What's that? Yeah, it must have, because I didn't either. Yeah, that's what I thought. And then all of a sudden, I questioned that. Where a poverty spirit feels out of control, a prosperous soul protects and delights in unlimited access to the strength and wisdom of God. So that out of control feeling that causes you to latch on to everything, that's not good. Like, you see a person that has to control everything, and sometimes it's you. Be careful that that's not out of, you know, that that's not out of this poverty spirit, because you can't trust anything or anybody else with anything. It comes out of that same anxiousness. And I see that show up in people in different areas. Doesn't make sense to you till you understand there's something inside of them functioning. They have to. They're like... Where a poverty spirit feels out of control. Okay, I read that. Da, 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 da. Where a poverty spirit hides you, a prosperous soul is completely secure. So that temptation to hide and protect, it comes out of insecurity. I have to hide myself. I can't try. I can't show my heart. I can't be myself. Sometimes you're just nervous about who you are. And so the answer to that is, I'll just not say anything. How many times have you done that? I'll go, but I'm just not going to say anything. Where did that come from? Well, probably because the last time you said something, somebody made you feel stupid about it, which is probably your fault. Because so what if you like something that somebody else doesn't like? It's interesting how much pressure is in our culture to look like everybody else and to act like everybody else and to do it like everybody else. And I'm not talking about black and white issues. I'm talking about what color, you know, the color of your house and your front door. We have the funniest, I have fun with Phyllis. We'll be driving, she'll see somebody's front door painted a certain color, like, oh my gosh. I'm like, let them live, Phyllis, it's okay, you know. Now, I have strong opinions about other things, but we're not going to talk about mine, we'll talk about hers. Where a poverty spirit chokes out generosity, a prosperous soul revels in it. Prosperous soul loves is generous because it doesn't fear that there won't be enough. But a poverty spirit can't be generous. Like, I can't give. There won't be enough. You know, there won't be enough. And all those things need to be in wisdom. We're just talking about core. What makes you tick? What's going on in here? Those things. You know this isn't right. You know you're grasping. You know you're clinging to things out of fear. And there's a time to keep what is truly yours. There really is. Then there's a time you need to be giving some stuff away here. Don't sweat it. Generosity is very powerful in a whole community. It's neat to see people when you're truly generous. It just opens their spirit up. They're like, wow, we just give. You're like, it's good. Yeah, I've got, what does that mean? It's like, I got enough. I can give you a $5 bill or a $10 bill or something significant. Because I have an endless supply. You don't want to give what's not yours, but that generous spirit, it comes out of a prosperous soul. It doesn't come out of a poverty spirit. And then finally he says, where a poverty spirit fights to keep you and others in the same condition, a prosperous soul seeks continual expansion and growth and seeks always to empower and enrich others. Let me read that again. Poverty spirit fights to keep you and others in the same condition. What does that look like in a community of people where there's a poverty spirit? We keep each other in the same thing. You see that. You can see that in the culture we live in sometimes. But the prosperous soul empowers and wants to see people do well. I don't need you to do bad so I can feel better about myself. That's how that. If you're envious about everybody that gets something better than you or has something, it doesn't have to be better. Just something you don't have. Envy is so nasty and wicked. It can never be satisfied, and it fires up just because someone gets something you don't have. You don't need that, but they got that. You know, and that's what envy is really. It's the real ugly. It's the ugliest one. But it's the prosperous soul that rejoices over something somebody having something that you don't have, or maybe even you want that you don't have. Because you're free. Your soul's full. You don't need stuff for it to be full. You can rejoice at someone's promotion. You can rejoice. You go, oh, that would be so neat to have won that. That would have been so good to have accomplished that. That'd be so cool to get a new house. That'd be so cool to get a promotion. Maybe I'd love to have that promotion. You can even say, I'd love to have that too. Jesus is like, well, then you just may get it. But it's when you move into envy and this hoarding and this nastiness about others doing well, that's bad. And he frowns on that. When you replace your poverty paradigm with a prosperity paradigm, your map of reality changes and expands. You see new bridges, roads, mountain passes. You see new lands and adventures. You see, in fact, that nothing is impossible. You see not bondage, but unending freedom. The real voyage of a lifetime can finally begin. Let me read this last thing. I just couldn't do better than this section as far as today. Genesis chapter 35, verse 10 is a story about Jacob. We all know the story, most of us, that Jacob wrestled with the Lord. That's weird. I don't recommend it. Until you understand maybe what he really did wrestle with God about. Because if you don't get revelation, it's just a strange story in the Bible. Very strange. And guess who won? Well, let me put it this way. Who walked away limping? And it's really strange because it says it was the angel of the Lord. Like, did Jacob wrestle with Jesus, the person of Jesus? I think he did. However, I can't understand that, but that's what I do think. And why would God bother to wrestle with a man anyways? Why would he even bother? Because something about us that the Lord loves, that we come after him so much that we just grab a hold of him about it. And with one another, we're like, hey, just sit in your seat and be patient. But Jesus might go, hey, you just leave him alone. Let him come after me. Let him tackle me if he wants to. Oh, pardon the heck out of me. I'll just stay out of this, you know. It's funny how we view one another and go, oh, that's disgusting. Jesus is like, I didn't feel that way. You know, the disciples are like, get out the newspaper and beat that woman away from Jesus. Like, don't touch him. Get away. You know, I'm being ridiculous, but they didn't like that, did they? Jesus, you know, he's like, leave her alone. Let her come. She understands. Jesus, she just wasted all this money on your feet. You don't need oil on your feet. He's like, who said I don't? That's how you look at it. Because you have a poverty spirit. Because you have a poverty mentality. You think she wasted that. I'm going to tell you what. She just made a reputation for herself that'll get written down in the book and last forever. How about that, boys? Did you do anything other than your rhetoric? That also gets documented. Oh, the things I've said, you know? Can we erase that? The fits I've thrown over stupid things. Can we take that off? You know, delete. Up there in the right-hand corner on the keyboard, delete. Erase. God changed his name to Israel. God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. It is fascinating to me that the name Jacob can mean heel, footprint, or hind part. After Jacob wrestled with God, his name was changed to Israel, meaning God strives, or to persist, to exert oneself, preserve. Consider this interpretation. I believe Jacob wrestled with God to displace the power of lack in his life. He wrestled with him to get that lack out of his life. Because Jacob, what do we know about Jacob? Always striving, always conniving. He was that guy that was always kind of like figuring out a way around things and getting things, you know, fighting for his birthright. He was born second, but he did get the birthright. But man, this guy's life was striving and grasping after something that wasn't his. And then he has this big one-time, last-time fight with the angel of the Lord. And the revelation here is, what if he did that once and for all to displace that lack, that spirit of poverty that was on him, that lack? His former name implied one left behind. You can run into people all the time that have that mentality. I'm always last. I get overlooked. No one sees me. No one knows me. No one wants to be my friend. His former name implied one left behind. He was a heel catcher. And that's what he did when he was born. Esau was born first, and he comes out with his hand on Esau's heel. What a picture. From the womb, he was born without the birthright. He suffered wrong under Laban. He developed a history of lying and being lied to, but Jacob prospered. What Esau despised, Jacob prized. When Laban deceived, Jacob persisted. When Jacob was alone with God, he wrestled and won. Jacob's renaming sealed the theme of his life. He was a living demonstration of the law of displacement. When this displacement was complete, he became Israel, an entirely different person for the rest of his life. I'm ready for the new person. Yes? Scripture tells us we are all sons and daughters of God, co-heirs, heirs with Christ. We are part of the royal family of heaven. We already have a new name. The only problem is that we feel like imposters, and so we must wrestle with the truth of who God says we are until it becomes reality, and we must wrestle like Jacob as if our lives depend on it, for they do. We must wrestle with the truth of who God says we are until it becomes a reality, and we must wrestle like Jacob as if our lives depend on it, for they do. Your life depends on that. Jesus saying, take heed to what I hear, what I say. Listen to my words. Listen to my words. Don't listen to the voice of another. That will lead you astray. Heed my words. Hear what I'm saying. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask for your grace on us to hear your words. And I just ask in our little gathering today that you will just identify. I ask that you open up the words, the phrases that you would speak to every person here today. Things. You know, Jesus, what to say to us. So I ask for your voice to be heard in our hearts, for us to hear that thing, hear the thing that's for today. We don't need the big list. We just need the thing today that we need to hear. We need to hear the thing that you're saying and take heed to those words. Take heed to that word. Take heed to that word. Listen to that word. Listen to that word. Let's just take a few more minutes with this on this line. This is very significant, I think, because I do believe there's always something that's very current that Jesus is speaking to you. And I believe that he uses us for one another, and he uses us often in our weakness. So as you're sitting here in the Lord's presence, and we're not going to prolong this, I'm going to ask you to just speak out a phrase that you believe would be what the Lord's saying. It may be something you're hearing for yourself, but it may be something you're just hearing that you just feel you should speak out. So Holy Spirit, just release over us in our little body today. Release the words, the phrases that will definitely minister to somebody today. A phrase, a few words, a word. It can be very simple. What do you think the Spirit would say in this atmosphere? I'm learning, I'm getting information that there are things that happen in our meetings that are more significant than any of us know. And not all things can be told, and not all things are known. But the Spirit is working. He is at work in our midst. You can put on some music, Adam, just softly. What are you perceiving? A word of promise. Like all of a sudden, I'm hearing, be still. Like that phrase, be still and know that I'm God. So I just release that. Be still. Be still.
Set your affections upon him.
Set your affections upon him as a word from the Lord. Set your affections upon him. Anything else?
Take courage, do not fear.
Take courage, do not fear. Take courage, do not fear.